Together we safeguard our goods.
Purchase an eye examination and spectacles and receive your clear single vision spectacles absolutely free. Also purchase two pairs of color contact lenses and get the third pair free. This amazing cash offer is valid till the 31st of July 2016 and is available from the following optometrists. Yusuf Chavus, 011-852-4577. Zeenat Sologi, 011-854-5394. Iqbal Madi, 011-854-6060 or 6285.
Tweet Maulana Habib Bobat at Habib Bobat.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International, and we do have Maulana Ashraf Dokrat on. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Tell me about Yusuf,
yes, Maulana. This is the book under review today, Tell Me About Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam. And the book is authored by Sani Yasnain Khan. That's Sani Yasnain Khan. And it's published in a series of books titled Tell Me About. So it's Tell Me About, and then the Prophet names followed. And this book, Tell Me About the Prophet Yusuf, is subtitled then, What the Prophet's Message Is, Why His Life Is So Important, and What He Teaches Me. The book is published in the Good Word Kids series of books. And so it is a book directed for our younger readers. And I think the book does a very good job in pitching itself for our younger readers for several reasons. The one is that the book is written well. We know that writing books in the genre of children's writing is not easy. One has to choose a correct amount of words, and the selection of the words has to be very appropriate for the age. And what makes this book a good book in the sense of it being written well is not only the fact that the selection of words are appropriate, but that the person who is reading the book to a kid will be able to do so very easily. They will find it that they are able to read the book in a way that the young listener will be able to understand the book, and so it makes for easy reading for the storyteller, basically, or the person who's going to be reading for our younger ones at story time. And we've spoken about this before. It is very important that we read to our younger ones at home, for them to develop a love for reading in the first place. Also, if they want to read themselves, reading the book itself is easy, not only because of the words that are chosen, but also because of the layout, the appropriate font, of the size of the print, etc. All of that make for easy reading for our younger readers. The book is also written easily, and easily understood, and there are many things that help. That there are illustrations. It is well illustrated. They make use of not only good hand illustrations and drawings, but also a number of photographs, and you can see that the typesetting and those people involved in the illustration of the book and the actual layout of the book have gone to some effort about it and produced a book that is worthwhile for our young readers. Also, the book obviously has an appeal for us as Muslims because of its Islamic content. The story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, like the story of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, tells us not only the story about Yusuf, the Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories, starting off with his early childhood, his family life in tents in the desert, a time when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was young, and the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his brothers, what turns out to be a blessing in a way, the horrific incident that turns out to be a means of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam reaching Egypt, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's further fortunes. So the incident itself, this book in particular, the book of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, lends itself to a great deal of excitement. The story we know is always gripping for our younger people, and in fact, people of all ages. But apart from that, the author always tries to draw out the moral and the ethical values in the story. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's courage, for example, in his youth when he was thrown into the well, his piety and trustworthiness when confronted with the woman of the Egyptian nobility, his truthfulness in interpreting dreams, his wisdom, his kindness, his caring nature when he invites his parents then at the end of his life in Egypt, to Egypt, in order to honor them. And so the various episodes in this most beautiful story, Ahsan al-Qasas, are drawn out and are highlighted by the author in a most appropriate way. So our learners will, inshallah, be able to learn about his life. They will be able to know the miracles of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and they will most importantly understand the mission of this Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi salam, just as they do for any of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The book, I thought, does something more, which is very, very appropriate. On each of the pages almost, in each of the chapters, there is a small block telling us, giving us some background detail. For example, there's a block dealing with slaves in Egypt. What is the history of slaves? There's an accompanying map showing how slaves were moved and the route maybe that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took from Canaan after being held captive through the Sinai right into Egypt. There is a section on a thing like technology and economic life in ancient Egypt, a section on bartering. So that knowledge that comes out of a story, in other words, the knowledge that sometimes is incidental and we forget about, but that the story allows us an opportunity to actually learn about, is given a prominent place in this book. And therefore, I think our learners will enjoy the book, and it will keep them enthralled for a long time. So this is it then, Maulana. The book is available from Good Word Publishers. It's been on the market for some time already. And the rest of the series also is available. When we get those in hand, we will inform our readers about them. But for now, they can search for this book at our local booksellers. Tell Me About the Prophet Yusuf by Good Word Kids and other books in the series. And if we need to know the titles, the other titles, I suppose we can go onto their website, goodwordbooks.com, www.goodwordbooks.com.
Interesting indeed. And what's the price looking like, Maulana?
Maulana, these books, the prices really vary from seller to seller. But at the moment, you can pick them up for about just under 100 rands or so.
Interesting.
And they are quite good. They can make a good part of anybody's bookshelf collection, you know, at home. They're a good thing to have, and I'm sure they can go around the family to other homes as well. People can use them, really.
Fascinating indeed. Mara, let's look at Women's Day tomorrow morning.
Yes, Mara, you're right. It's Women's Day. And perhaps something for the ladies then. There is a book called, or an essay, a longer essay, called Rethinking Muslim Women and the Veil. The subtitle is Challenging Historical and Modern Stereotypes, Rethinking Muslim Women and the Veil. And the author is a Muslimah by the name of Catherine Balogh. She decided to study the veil and veiling in her community in Toronto at some stage, and then came towards the end of her studies, embraced Islam, but shares then her experiences and what she feels about the whole idea of hijab. For her, hijab is really a resistance. It offers some sort of resistance to the world that we are around, that we know consumed by capitalism, the consumerism is really of the capitalistic system, has consumed us. And for her, it's, hijab offers that type of resistance. But her work itself, the essay, is a serious piece of reading. It's written in a very engaging way. And she calls to the fact that we need to challenge the negative stereotype of the veil. And this is very urgent that we do so. She says that it's on many people's minds as to whether they should take on the hijab or not. But also for the West, they see it as Muslim backwardness and barbarity. So this work focuses on the Western cultural view that the veil is oppressive for Muslim women, and highlights underlying patterns of power behind this. And they try to show how they've constructed an image of the veil that ties up very closely to the colonial roots and negative stereotypes of that type of perception. And the book, this essay, very successfully challenges some of the arguments that are made by people who have questioned the veil, and especially she challenges the arguments of the famous early feminist Fatima Mernissi in her books Beyond the Veil and The Veil and the Male Elite. She provides seven reasons why people veil today, and the multiple meanings of that veil. For example, for revolution sometimes, out of protest sometimes, out of religious need sometimes, and the simplistic way or the way in which she is able to simplify difficult debates is very commendable in this book. In the first part of the of the essay, she moves to a discussion on what she calls an alternate theory of the veil. Mm. And she summarizes some of the opinions of the philosophers and sociologists. Certainly those ulama among us will do well to read this section very carefully, because in a few pages she's able to provide a good summary of what social theorists and philosophers have been saying about the whole concept of woman and the veil, and also other aspects of such as sexuality and all of that surround that. In a conclusion, she makes the argument that Muslim women should take up their place in this debate with confidence. She says for too long, mainstream cultural discussions, Western cultural discussions on the veil, and also the progressive Muslim voices have dominated the scene. And she called then for a true and a sincere a voice to appear from among that. And she identifies the voice of the Muslim woman who is in hijab, who understands clearly why she's in hijab, and she calls that voice needs to be recognized at least for what it is. And she shows that, you know, all along, that the hijab is not something that is oppressive. It is part of the religion, and it gives Muslim dignity and respect. As a postscript, she questions the whole idea that has become common nowadays about hijab being a cultural sanctioned dress and not a religiously sanctioned one. But for what it's worth, Maulana, these are only 27 pages, but it's well worth the read. I think that our Muslim sisters will do themselves a favor if actually they read this in order to understand some of the debates around the issue, but also from their own position to really get a strong sense of why they are themselves and why they are themselves in this or have taken up the position that they have concerning the veil and veiling. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good read for ulama as well, Islamic scholars who want to be more informed. And the author herself makes a good contribution in this essay that she's written. The essay was published first in 2002 and then again in 2007.
Mm-hmm. A quick read indeed, Murana. How do we get hold of it?
Well, it's available online, please. We will, I'm sure you can give our readers, or we can put up on our webpage the link to the PDF, Rethinking Muslim Women and the Veil, Challenging Historical and Modern Stereotypes is what you're looking for. So it's Rethinking Muslim Women and the Veil. And the author is Catherine Balock, B-U-L-L-O-C-K, Catherine Balock.
Jazakumullah khairan, Murana, much appreciated, and we hope to chat to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Yes, the two books reviewed this morning by Murana, the first one, Tell Me About Yusuf by Thania Thnain Khan, and the second one, Women's Day, review of essay by Catherine Balock, Rethinking Muslim Women and the Veil, Challenging Historical and Modern Stereotypes. The second book is available on the net as a PDF, and the first one is available at the local Muslim stores, which can be purchased at just under 100 rands. That's the books that we will review this week, and we hope to inshallah bring you more fascinating accounts and also books in the coming programs. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International.